What are we going to do as a church? Our souls need to wake up. We need to respond to the gospel of Jesus. He said, go into the world.
We don't want to deal with reality, Christian. We don't even want to deal with reality, even though we've been saved from this place.
I'm calling on you today in the name of Jesus to rise up to the call of God. Christ is coming back soon.
If I start telling people about hell, I might just scare them off. Where are you going to scare them off to? Hell number two? People stop thinking about it. If hell really exists, and it does, I didn't say that Jesus did, then don't you think people need to know about it? Can't you at least give them a fighting chance? Or are you just going to sit there and let them burn?
This is Chris from Don't Let Them Burn. Welcome to our show. I'm here with my partner, Rory.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Don't Let Them Burn.
All right. Tonight's guest is Trudy Behrman from TrudyBehrman.com. Author and speaker.
Yes, we just, it looks like it's going to be a great evening tonight as Trudy Behrman goes ahead and give her testimony and what the Lord Jesus Christ means to her and how important walking with him is. Chris, before we start, let's just go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, we just want to thank you for this evening. Thank you for the things that will be discussed on air tonight. Lord God, that someone who will hear this information, their lives will be changed and impacted, oh Lord God. Lord God, we just ask you that everything that we do will bring honor and glory to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And don't forget, you can reach us on teespring.com, Patreon, and Fundly if you want to donate to our cause. And if you can't, then all you have to do is share. Share the video, like, subscribe, and that's it. All right, Rory, bring in our guest.
Good evening, Trudy. How are you?
Hey, Rory, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
We also have Chris. Chris is on the line.
Hey, Chris Taylor. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And tonight we want to get into what you are about and what has God done in your life. How did you come to Christ? We want to start off at that junction and go into what you were about.
Well, I grew up with missionary parents, people who are very well known. And actually, I have to tell you, I used to be very assuming that because of who my parents were, I was automatically a Christian. Yeah. And I remember Daddy preached one day and he said, God had no grandchildren. And I was like, oops. Yeah. So I came to Christ and got baptized around age 12. When I went to college, I kind of did my little self-discovery. And but the Lord had, I feel like he had a hedge around me. It's like I could only get in this much trouble and no more. Mm-hmm. And then I, as I was getting ready to get married, my life just started to come together. And Daddy, I was preaching, my father's Jerry Gallimore. He was preaching again. And I had been sitting in the congregation and I was like, oh my gosh, I had to rededicate my life to the Lord. And that was around, I would say I would have been around 23, 24, and it's been good going since.
Okay, praise God.
Oh, I was saying that I was 23, 24, and I was good since then.
Okay. Yeah, so we're really trying to reach women, and what kind of advice would you give to Christian women out there? I know you have many books, and that's in the intro. So how would you reach out to young Christian women today?
Well, guys, I have to tell you, I try to come at them from a few angles. I've been seeing a lot of marriages in trouble from the aspect of the financial department. So I can tell you I was one of those wives that would just spend and spend and spend, just, to swipe the card. Yeah. And I didn't, check in with my husband. I would just spend. We were comfortable and I would just spend. And I have to tell you that a year before the recession, the Lord would just have it that I went to a Crown Financial, which I think has been replaced by Financial Peace workshop. And it was the first time that I realized that, oh my gosh, God does have something to say about money. And 1 year before the recession, I changed the way I was spending my family's money. And I have to tell you, men in the traditional family, let me put it this way, my husband is still the main breadwinner. However, we women have a huge impact on the family finances, whether it's because of the decisions we make on the spending or how we twist our husband's arms to do things that they don't necessarily want to do. I can tell you, I convinced my husband to buy property that we lost in the recession. He was not really wanting to do that. I twisted his arm. We used our, you know, we tend to use our female manipulation skills. And so I really have been trying to speak to women about how they are influencing the finances of their family. Even if they're not themselves financially contributing, they still have a huge financial impact. One of the ways I'm able to channel that is the occasional opportunity to speak to them, whether through my own radio show or through speaking engagements. But the main way I speak to women on that is through a course, an online course that my mother, Sonia Gallagher, and I have crafted, which the state of Florida has approved for pre-marriage couples. And a lot of military deployed take use of that, I have to tell you. But it's an online course, and I crafted the finance portion of that course. And so I'm able to hopefully impact, so far hundreds of couples have gone through the course with that portion of, and just really speak to women and say, hey, ladies, you know, that Proverbs 31 is very impactful, but there's another passage of scripture that I find very helpful when speaking to the women regarding finances, and that's 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, and it's the story of the woman with the oil. We can get into that another time, but I wrote a book on that one called The Creditors Are Coming. There's a huge influence women have on the finances of the family. The other area which kind of tags off of that is being an entrepreneur and being a wife, mom. You know, it just, we have to run our business a little bit differently. Again, I'm speaking to the traditional woman. I know we have some powerhouse women who run their, you know, household and all that. I happen to be married to a godly man living in a home where, you know, we're married and, you know, we have a traditional godly structure. And so therefore, I won't resonate with all women, but the Christian women who are in a similar structure to mine, when we're entrepreneurs ourselves and we have to manage all the various requirements and still keep family and husband and God a priority. So I those are some of the areas that I really try to come at women.
Yeah, that's great.
A lot of the things that you said resonate with definitely married couples, but also I think people that are getting married would be definitely interested. Also single women too, because I think that would be great for anybody. And I like that you use the principles that are in the Bible. You talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, and you talk about the woman with the miracle that was done with the woman with the oil, how it had to, she had to be resourceful in getting what she needed to gather the oil.
Her husband was a man of God who sat at the gates with the leaders. He was known by Elisha. So, and he died leaving his family in debt, where the creditors were coming to take her boys. It's a very powerful story when you come at it from the angle of the money, the debt, a husband, a man of God, you know, not really doing what he needed to do for his family. The woman has to step in. So some of these single women or women who are head of households find that piece of it very, it resonates with them, because at this point in the story, she is a single mom. And she has to take care of business coming from a negative starting point. So that book was The Creditors Are Coming. It is available on Amazon or your favorite bookstore. I have to put my little plug there, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, I think what you're saying is so true. It's so powerful that not only are we to be Christians, walk uprightly, living righteous lives, honoring God, but also that we are going to have to give an account to God for the resources that we have or that he has given us, and that we should be rightly using those resources to, whether it be, if he gives you for business, use it wisely. And you know, what you just said reminds me of the story with the talents, where the one guy, he had one and he hid it. He didn't do anything and God took it from him. So you're so right that we need to use the things that God has for us to do. And I'm even going to look into this seminar that you have and see how I can use it to better myself as a Christian man.
I do have an online course called Secrets from the Bible, No Guru Required. My business actually, Rory, as you mentioned about being a steward, my business is the name of it is Profitable Stewardship Inc. And it is anchored in the story of Matthew 25 of the stewards with the talents. So it's interesting that you bring that up, because that I have a lot to say on that subject.
Well, yeah, this I have it right here in front of me. This is one of your main talking points for tonight, Matthew 25, 28 through 30. And it says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. As for this worthless servant, throw him out into the dark, where people will wail and grind their teeth. Some of your translation will say where there will be weeping or gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that, this was written many, many, many centuries ago, and yet it is so relevant. It could have been in today's newspaper, because really, God has no socialistic agenda. Right. There is no socialistic agenda here. I mean, to some, he gave 1, 2, and 5. It was not an equal distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of it, you know, look at it. The one who had one, it was taken from him. If you listen to public conversation today, that would be heresy. I mean, how do you take from the one and give it to the one who already has so much? They would want to strip the one who has so much and distribute it to the ones who have nothing. It's a
redistribution of wealth.
I'm going to leave the politics alone, but I'm just saying that for all those people who want to portray Jesus as a socialistic, Jesus needs to understand, I don't read it that way. And on top of it, Luke 8 has a line of these women who were financing his ministry. So we women have a very powerful place to play in the whole scheme of things, and especially in the dimension of money.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about what you said there is that this is in the Bible, and it has nothing to do with feminism. Nothing to do with it. This is something that God has constructed to happen, but they bring in feminism and it takes a whole new light, and it's like the woman must take the man's place, and that's what irritates me nowadays.
I tell you what, guys, I ascribe to the wife of the Bible, and I tell you what, it was a challenge for me. Wow. Most people who know me, I could easily be a bull in a china shop. I have a very intimidating personality to some people.
Yeah.
I mean, my son's football coach and his martial arts sensei used to tell him that they were scared of me. I am harmless. I am harmless. But I do tend to have a very a personality of presence. And I say that to say this. To be a wife who is ready to submit to her husband is something that I would say does not come naturally to me, because I'm very self-sufficient. When I met my husband, I had my house and my car. I had a career. I told him before getting married, I don't need him for a house car. I wanted to be with him. And not a lot of women can say that, because they're sizing up their future husband based on, you know, what they think he can give them. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, first of all, God gave me the right husband. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
The right one for me to manage me and to keep in check and all those good things. But I still have my influential powers. Trust me, I can manipulate him if I need to. However, the biblical structure of the family is very much acknowledged in this. And my husband is absolutely head of household, no matter how powerful my personality.
Yes, and that's how God ordained it. I'm Rory.
I think even in saying that, I think that is also very real. And I agree with what you said. And let me explain. A lot of women think that in order for them to be successful, they have to be ahead of the man or above the man. And you don't. You know, the same Proverbs 31 that you're talking about, the woman was extremely successful, but it did not hinder, or she did not use it to belittle her husband. It complimented him. And, you know, I think that is powerful. Somewhere in the New Testament, I think it's Peter, where it says, Christ is the head of the church as the man is ahead of the home. And sometimes that's some of the hardest things for women to deal with. And it's harder for men to submit themselves to God. Well, I shouldn't say it's harder, but men should submit themselves to God, and their wives will submit themselves also to the man.
Just to blend that, I think if both are submitted to God, we'll have a perfect blend there, you know?
I want to say something else to the women on that topic, though, because both in 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, the woman with the oil, and the Proverbs 31 woman, God felt it necessary to mention both their husbands were known at the gate. And in that day and age, leaders sat at the gate. And, it is easy to say the woman married well, but I want to suggest that a godly wife will help to elevate her man to where he is able to sit at the gate. And I'm speaking in particular when I think about my own parents, because when they got married, they were young and, you know, their life was still ahead of them. And my mother has followed my father all over the world. And she, you know, she has supported him in all the things God has called him to. She has her own ministry in her own right. But that was the life lesson I grew up under. That was a template that I saw, a godly couple, and a godly wife. And no question, my father became a man at the gate, if you want to call it that. But I don't think he got there without the wife that he had.
Right.
So amen. When women are out there looking for their sugar daddy, I think that a godly woman can help to support and elevate her man where he will be at the gate.
Yes, totally agree. When you see not perfect couples, but good, godly couples, it's always that. And the woman is there to help the man, and she's the helper. It's there in Genesis. And that's not the only thing. But when you see her elevating and uplifting her man, it gives him this drive to do better, especially under the authority of God.
Yes, absolutely.
I am just so happy to hear all these things that you're saying. I think it's critical, not only for women. You're talking about women, but I'm talking about men. Men, in order for them to hold on to their role as men of God. Something that we have always seen in Scripture, or all I've always seen in Scripture, is where, you know, God is now coming to either pass judgment, to deal with a particular issue. He comes to the man. And, you know, if you want to look at Adam and Eve, he came to Adam, then he went to Eve, then he went to the serpent. So these things, this is the way God has laid out the family. This is where God has laid out the family, to where we are to adhere to everything that he has written in Scripture. And that is the most powerful thing that we can do as Christians.
Amen. Okay, so we have a few more minutes left with you. So again, I'm looking for, you know, because I know a lot of young women out there. Some of them don't have the right upbringing. Some of them have a perception of the world, a perception of God that's probably wrong. And I know that's a lot, a mouthful, and I can go on and on and on. So it's just, I just want that influence for you to bring that influence on the women that listen to our show. Many women listen to our show. I'm dumbfounded by how much women listen to our show, but it's from all ages, color, anything. If you could speak to those people, please.
Yeah, as you said, that's a mouthful. I want to say this. It's unfortunate that some of us don't have the family startup that I had. I was blessed to have been brought up in a godly family, godly parents, married, stable, you know, financials, everything. We, you know, and I really put that to God's blessing on our lives. The thing is, though, as my dad said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. So ultimately, we have to come to our own personal decision and relationship with God. And God has the ability to change. It really starts in our belief system. And one of the things that really shifted me, I have a daddy, I have a good father, good earthly father, but God became my Abba daddy. And there's something about that that shifted my father from daddy position for me, because my father is very limited, but God is not. Mm-hmm. And if a woman can, you know, regardless of her startup, if, you know, if in her walk with God, she just ask him to reveal himself in the capacity that she needs the most, be it, you know, that father figure that she never had, she doesn't have to find it here on earth, because even with the great man of God I had as a father, I have moved him from that place. Abba is my daddy, and I literally see him that way. I mean, I look in the mirror. I bought a t-shirt today that says, I did a DNA test and God is my daddy. I bought that t-shirt today. I mean, it just spoke to me, because it's exactly how I see him. And so all I can say is, you know, when you can shift God into the most important place in your life, he will be more important than your husband, more important than your father, more important than even your children. Yeah. I think it will create that right perspective for everything else. It's like the skeleton on which his whole frame is built. Because, you know, I'm not a paraplegic sitting in a chair, because my skeleton is intact. Everything else can hang on that and from that. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I don't know what else to say. I can only come at it from the place that I've been. I can understand from a theoretical position, but all I can ask these women to do is to think about what it is they need, because there's a song about looking for love in all the wrong places, and I beg them that love that they're looking for, because the Bible has a beautiful picture of this relationship with God as a marriage. So if you're looking for that, you know, that emotional connection, God is willing to give it. If you're looking for the father figure, he's willing to give it. You know, I even wrote a book, Jesus Had a Stepdad Too. So for all those people who got that all wrong, I mean, he is so amazing. I don't know. I just love him. I don't know.
And fatherlessness is one of the biggest problems in this Western world. You know, I didn't have my dad either. So from men to women, it's just a huge problem. And the symptoms of that is what we get into in our entertainment. These people are without love, without this, without that, and they just express themselves through the rap, the R&B, whatever it is. I'm just glad that you brought that point up about the daddy and who Abba Father is, and how, well, basically he's our creator. Who else can take his place? Not our mother, not our father, no one. And we need to acknowledge him as that. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved today. But if you could just touch really quick, because with all of this parenting lacking, I think that's why a lot of people are in financial issues. So if you could just touch on debt for a minute and why it's so important not to be a slave to the lender.
Okay, so Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man any debt but love." However, I have to tell you though, guys, while, you know, I do agree and I do have a, you know, we do need to focus a little bit on debt management. Honestly, I feel like if we focus on being profitable stewards of what God has put under our control, first of all, being a steward, which is a good manager, we won't necessarily find ourselves in debt. The Bible does have a lot to say about debt. And you know what? There is a place for debt. But if we focus on being profitable, profit will crush that debt faster than the scarcity methods that I hear being portrayed even through the church. Mm. Lock your fist, don't spend, say no, sell the cars. I mean, you know, yeah, we need to manage debt. I think the main thing is that mindful spending. And if we focus on being a good steward, a good manager of what God has put under our control, things like debt will be under control, or not at all. But, you know, debt is an important thing we need to look at, because I think the world has been telling us, you know, swipe the card and pay later. And especially when you don't have that family history and example of good management of money, you release a young person to the world and the world tells them debt is a way to go. And so not knowing any different, not having a better example, yeah, they'll find themselves in a situation. And then the church later on is trying to rein it all in. There's a whole mess of problems that comes from not being a good steward of what God has put under our control, in addition to losing the one that you think you're complaining about. You know, so if we're good stewards, first of all, we'll be have more mindful spending, and then, you know, focus, I would say, because there's too many Christians in line for a handout instead of being in a position to give a hand up. And I have a whole lot to say about that. I really would like you to have me back another time to talk about that. But for today, sure. I would just say the Bible does say, owe no man any debt but love. So we really should be very mindful about swiping that card and counting on debt to take us where we need to be, and removing power from God, because we're basically saying we don't think God can help us.
Right. And with the way that our technology is going, we swipe more than we put in the pocket or save or everything. It's so easy to just swipe. And by the time you look, your bank account is empty or overdraft. So we have to be mindful of that technology too, because it makes it so easy to go broke. When you have a $20 in your hand and you break the 20, you know, and you see it running down, well, you're going to be cautious. But when you're not looking, swipe. You know, that's how it is. Go ahead, Roy.
Well, you know, it's actually easier as an individual to swipe a credit card than for you to take the money out of your wallet. So this is a proven fact, and they have used this to be able to say, hey, it's easier for you to swipe a card, like you said, like both of you said. It's easier for you to pass your card through a machine, and whether it be a debit card. That's why debit cards are so good, because, you know, if people knew exactly how much money they were spending, if they had the cash in their hand, they would be more reluctant to spend the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier for them to just use a credit, use a debit card and swipe it, because it, you know, it doesn't come with that, oh my goodness, I'm running out of money. Yeah. So that's the whole thing that's been taken away. And so they know what they're doing. The other thing is that the enemy is at work.
Right.
Yes. John 10:10. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, but I've come that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. So when you find that you're in loss, you know, things have been still, you've been losing stuff, still steal, kill, and destroy. You're losing stuff. You're always in a loss and death and debt position. Trust me, that devil is lurking around looking for a way for you to lose your testimony.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so right before we get off here, will you tell people, you know, how to reach you?
Okay, so my main website is trudybierman.com, T-R-U-D-Y, B like boy, E-E-R-M-A-N, trudybierman.com.
All right. Well, it's good having you and talking to you. Hopefully we can have you on, but have you on a little bit longer to get into the depth that you want to get into. And any last words before we leave, Rory and Trudy?
Well, Trudy, thank you for being on here. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Thank you for encouraging women to do something that's totally contrary to what is being put out there today. And all we got to do is just hold on to God's word. And I know that he will direct our path.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate
it. All right, no problem. So listeners out there, I hope you take heed to the message here. And again, if you're not saved, you need to come to the Father, Jesus Christ, who bled on the cross for you. And, you know, he's the only person that you can get to heaven to. It's not many roads. It's only one way. That's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Seek him out. Dig into that Bible. Call out to him. He will save you and forgive you of all your sins. Till next time, people, remember, don't let them burn. If you like our videos, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to get all our frequent updates.